Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, host of The Big Story, Canada's longest running daily news podcast. For 6 years now, we've been telling one story a day, every one of them about something that matters to Canadians. This spring, though, we're going deeper. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt, the inside story of Ontario's Greenbelt scandal. From political games to stag and doe parties, endangered species, RCMP investigations, and Las Vegas massages, you will hear the full story straight from the people who broke it. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt. New episodes every Monday starting April 22nd, and you can get them all by following The Big Story wherever you get your podcasts.
Find your frequency.
Controversial subjects with the facts can be tense, but we are ASAP Science here to make things make sense.
Today we are talking about gene editing in humans. It's here, y'all, for a variety of controversial, intense, scary, but also promising reasons. We're going to get into it all today. But first, we're going to talk about cats versus conservation and ear health. Okay, we have to start off the top by saying thank you so much for listening this year. And if you could leave a comment on Apple iTunes, I mean podcast app,
or wherever you're listening,
or YouTube,
a review, a 5-star,
and send an episode from this year to one of your friends and family, that would help us with the algorithm. This is us trying to promote a podcast.
We always say we're going to do it, and we never do, but you know, we're coming to the end of the year. We just thought, what better time? The gift of giving, that's what you can give us for Christmas.
Scan through this year and be like, oh wow, an episode about how great mushrooms could be. Send that to a close friend and maybe you have a little trip down memory lane.
Or no, my gay friend who got food poisoning, he probably was eating ass.
Yeah.
That should go to them.
The eating ass episode, you could also send that to specific friends.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be gay, but you never know.
I want to get into our stuff because I think it's so interesting, but I think I have seasonal affective disorder, and it makes me feel better to think that than to think I'm just depressed.
But don't you get scared when you're like, it's just begun?
Well, okay, so no, I did my research, and it starts late fall, usually.
Okay.
Late fall, early winter are usually sometimes the worst times because it's when the days are the shortest.
Yeah, like we're coming up on the shortest day of the year in like 10 days or something.
And it's literally like this, they're like, yeah, the sunlight helps your body make serotonin. And they're like, do you feel hopeless? I'm like, check. They're like, are you sleeping more? I'm always waking up like, oh, a solid 10 to 11 hours.
Oh,
like,
my God.
It's not like sleeping more. I'm like, it's so interesting how much I sleep in the winter. That's so great for my body. And then
you're
I'm
so
like,
lucky. I actually cannot sleep past a certain time. It's so annoying.
Well, that might be a good thing because it said seasonal affective disorder. One example is that you sleep a lot.
Wow.
So it's not like necessarily a good thing.
Like I want to sleep more and then I'm just like, well, I guess I'm just here. Even though I'm tired, I might as well get up. And I have a weird thing where in the morning, it's so stupid and I'm sure other people relate. I actually am like excited to have my coffee. If I wake up and think about coffee, I'm like, well, I want to get up now.
What?
It's so comforting and cozy to me to like get my coffee, sit on the couch, especially if you're not awake yet, because then it's just like, it's my little quiet time. And even Ernie is like still asleep. He doesn't even rustle. So it's like my little time to myself in the morning.
Okay, well, that's cute. At least you're excited for the day. I'm like, I don't want to get up because then I have to be in reality.
Yeah, no, that's fair. But sometimes I'm just like, but I'm tired. Why won't my body let me fall back asleep?
I think that's like extremely normal. Okay. I'm talking about my issues here, which is that I have a depression where I sleep too much. God, I just wanted to like for once be the one with an ailment, but you had to swoop in and sleep.
Okay. Was there anything else you want to say about it? I'm sorry. I did not mean to steal.
No, your momentum. Not at all. I don't want to
talk
about
it. Are you okay, Greg?
Let's get into what we learned this week. I have vulnerability
look me in the
issues.
Eye.
I have vulnerability issues.
What can we do for you here? Is this going? People need to leave a review. That will get rid of your sad.
Okay, leave a review and I'll get rid of my sad.
A good one, please.
Yeah.
And thank you.
Yeah, there have been a few that are like, that Greg guy just talks about random shit all the time. He's the worst. And it's like, that's not going to help my sad. Okay, next.
Okay.
Oh, what did we learn this week?
You go first.
Well, okay, mine, I at first sounded boring, but I think it's really cool. Actually, it never sounded boring. It's about ear health, which is what I thought. Maybe sounded boring, but it turns out your ear health may impact your vision.
No.
And I was thinking of you specifically because you're always blasting music in your ears, but it's not specifically about that. So basically in 2018, they realized that your ears make a subtle noise, non-detectable to you, but detectable to a machine when your eyes move. And then they've done a new study, a follow-up study, where they realized they can predict where your eyes are looking and how they're moving by listening only to the sounds from your ears.
Like the squishy of your eyeball?
It's like apparently like the movement of your eye, there's like a nerve connected and it makes a noise in your ear and they're not totally sure why, but they can detect that with like an a little sound detector at your ear and without even seeing
like he's looking left.
Literally, like they were able to track those movements, which, and the reverse was true too. They could track your eyes and predict what waveform would be coming out of the ears. Obviously they use like complicated systems to first figure out this, and then they were able to be like, it's working. It's predicting what those things will be. And it's just like reinforced this idea that like your ears and eyes are connected. And I know this is like a silly anecdotal thing, but how like when you are, we've done that video on like when you're driving and why you turn down the music when you're trying to concentrate. Like a lot of people who also, I saw this was a comment I think on Reddit where somebody was like, oftentimes like vision problems and hearing problems are interconnected and also linked to ADHD. So like some of these conditions, you know how they say even for like Alzheimer's, like hearing issues can be like, what's the word? My brain is just not on. Yeah.
Pre-sign.
Welcome to our science podcast.
Make sure you quote and write that in your paper. Right? Risk factor. That's
yeah. There's another version of that word that I can't think of right now. But it's just kind of interesting how like it's important to think about the health of both those things and how they interplay, and that maybe hearing loss could impact vision, and maybe vision loss or vision damage could impact hearing ability.
I like want to be a painter, but I have obliterated my ears since the dawn of time for me.
I'm so curious, like when. And if your hearing will go, because
that is so rude, Mitch.
No. I didn't
freaking
mean it
out about that.
No, I more just meant like you. I don't know anyone in my life that listens to music and like anything. There's always headphones on your ears. That's not a lie, is it?
That's why I gasped.
Like, I'll just be curious to
see. I really want a podcast episode ideas. I want to do one about hearing aids because to this day I'm relying on the fact that Bose like. Did a study 2 or 3 years ago where I read about, and they were working on this tech that will like, essentially like, I'll just have a Bose hearing aid that will be in my ear to make me hear when I'm older, plus blast music until I absolutely croak. Like the way I read the study, that's why I'm like, okay, it's coming up people, because like Bose, what are they called?
Headphones?
No. I just said the word.
I wasn't listening.
Hearing aids.
Oh, okay.
Like that is what I'm relying on. So I truly, like, last night was literally
Okay, though, that sounds a little like everyone relying on, like, climate change tech to save the planet.
I know, but this one's a little less complicated. You know what I mean? I'm like, at least, sorry, like, no offense, but climate change is so drastically complicated. My cochleas, the little snail-like organ in my ear, I'm sorry, it's a little more simple. Actually, maybe not. It's hooked up to neurons, and that's really scary. But I was at Doja Cat, the concert last night, and it was just like, you know, me, 35-year-old man with, like, a bunch of, 19-year-old girlies. Absolutely, like, exploding my eardrums. Like, I was just like, oh my God, it's happening again. Like, even when I'm taking my headphones off, I'm going to a concert where the bass is rupture. Like, obviously the girls beside me are screaming and joyful. And I'm like, I'm old now. And also I was like, it's so sad because I'm here because I love Doja Cat and she's so talented. But in my head, I was like, I think these girls think I'm probably like the Globe and Mail reviewer. I was just like, they're like,
you should have had a clipboard to just be like, that's
I
why
know.
I'm here.
I was like, they're like, he's not here with any
like
kids.
He doesn't have a kid with him.
And I was with Brian, who's like, you know, my bro friend. So his vibe is like, I wasn't giving like the two gay guy vibes. It was right. Sort of like, I was giving
a straight dad,
a Globe and Mail reviewer. And we were front row of the 300 section. So I was able to sit at certain times and kind of nod my head so that if people looked at me, they might be like, oh, he's internalizing for the article he has to write later.
Writing his story, his review. That's part of the reason.
My ears were messed from it.
I in general don't love concerts just because it's like a little bit claustrophobic. It's an overstimulating environment for me. But that's one of the things is like it actually hurts my ears. Some concerts. That's why I love like orchestra concerts and like smaller like venues where it's not gonna.
There were moments like the whole first half I was like just enjoying myself, wasn't thinking about it. Then there was just like this one song that was just like, ow. Like it was like a bassy song. Does that make sense? Like it was only for like two songs that I was like, turn it down, Doja. Like you're ruining us. Whereas like every other time the volume was fine. Know what song it was? And it brought me back to something, then we'll move on. Remember that TikTok trend where it was like, what?
Oh, what was the TikTok
trend? Oh, grab someone at the face.
Isn't that Doja Cat?
You know that? Yeah, but that's the SZA part.
Oh, okay.
So she did that song, and I was like, had my phone out ready to do the limp wrist because I went to the SZA concert. Again, I go to a million concerts, and like truly thousands of people did the limp wrist. It was so cute, and I wish I'd filmed it. Aww. Had my hand out and everything, and then like when the SZA part came, which is the song ended because it's like, she's not SZA.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Like she's not going to just like dance while we listen to SZA. I was like, hey, damn it. But, what was I going to say? Shoot.
Another TikTok trend from Doja.
Oh my God. It's like from so long ago. And it's like when TikTok truly is like, it's disgusting. But remember when there'd be like, well, I mean, I'm gay. So there'd be a guy in like a doorway and it would be like a like happy song. And sometimes he'd be like literally be dressed as like a nerd. And then it would go like, and it would turn red. Yeah. And then he'd be like naked and his like bulge would show.
And like his shirt, like his muscles would be
yes,
like.
Yes. Or like. My straight What's friend was song? Like, oh, the girl was, it would be like a sexy girl being like, oh, and then all of a sudden,
like in a bikini brrr, and like,
okay, it's called Streets by Doja Cat. I didn't know that. And I was kind of like, oh my God, what? It starts very like the trend. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God, Brian, like what? And then like, he kind of like looked at me and we both, and then all of a sudden it was like, brrr, and then she became red and sexy. And it was like, damn, she's like, she's taken over TikTok totally. In a crazy way. And that was the song that hurt my ears. And I was like, I don't even like this song. It's reminding me of like horny TikToks. And I did kind of look around at all the girls and were like, are all these like girls like reminiscing of like when some hot guy like turned like naked? Because they were all, it's such a sexy song. And they were all so serious and into it. And I was like, this is like, TikTok is like sexualizing people.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of social media is like that. Like, you go to my Instagram search bar, it's just like, okay, I'm obviously distracted. Like,
I know,
sometimes
it's
I'll be
porn.
Like, oh, I want to see like what Greg posted, and I'll like go on Instagram and go to search, and I'll just be like, oh, what? It's just like all jacked shirtless men. And of
almost
course,
like
I'm like, then I'm like, what was I doing?
Yeah. Almost, I love how you're like wanting to see what Greg posted.
Well, I like, don't know. I sometimes I'm wanting
hard. But okay, also the Instagram, like Instagram guys, I'm like, this is like almost like 3D animated, like grotesque bodies. Like when I look at the grid, I'm like, wait, these don't look like look like mutants. Like there's this one guy who's always on mine. I'm like, I guess I did click. But it's like
it's so extreme.
I'm like, is it steroids or is it like a computer program that like
are they editing it or something? Or just like perfect lighting?
Yeah, because I'm sure if I saw him in real life, I'd probably like drop my bag.
It's a lot
to
look at. Yeah.
Anyways, I haven't even done my we learned this week.
Make it short and snappy.
Okay. So it's about outdoor cats because as a bird watcher, I learned that they are one of I guess there's a bit of misinformation around this. They are one of the largest killers of birds.
Okay.
But they do predominantly kill like very common birds, like not necessarily like endangered ones.
Right.
Because there's so many of them. Not that excuses it, but
But birds that live in the cities are often like birds that are in high numbers, right?
Yes. They're not, and it, like, it is still bad. Like, a lot of bird watchers are like, please just keep your cats inside. Because I think that, and I'll get to why that's really important to keep your cats inside, but there's a lot more other human involved issues as to why rare birds are declining, like deforestation, habitat loss, and even like raccoons and rats are in areas where there's like
affecting birds.
Yeah, where there's like more like rural areas, like where there's breeding and stuff, like eating the young eggs. Like, I'm just saying, like, cats get a really bad rep.
Yeah, because they're like partially controlled by humans. Like, they're, it's like,
yes, okay,
some
that's
people don't
true.
Let their cats out, and some cats are indoor outdoor cats.
And they're considered like an invasive species because they're not
it's
meant to be.
It's just hard
here.
Because it's like, of course, I understand why people want to let their cats outside. Assuming, like, I would be afraid to, like, have my cat get hit by a car or something, but there's a level of like, that's beautiful to like let your pet have freedom and get to go explore and come home and then like snuggle up with you. But
it's like, it's like
the consequence
like
of that.
Two, like,
and you're just
finches.
Like, oh, hey, cutie.
Hey, baby. So a new meta-analysis went through like a bunch of studies on what domestic cats eat. So it turns out that they're considered indiscriminate predators. So they truly will
kill
eat
anything
they can catch. So it's like, they're not like, you know, like,
they're not like, I only want
for
mice.
Like, one house finch that they want to eat. They're like, they'll eat anything. So 47% of what they eat are birds. 22% were reptiles. 21%.
Reptiles?
Yeah.
Okay, obviously this is across... Where was this?
This is in the Americas and some in Europe. It's a meta-analysis of like all the information.
Like, obviously not Toronto.
What?
What reptiles would you be eating outside? Like,
well, it says that there's 3% were amphibians. There's frogs. There's
I guess.
There's lizards.
Like, when do you see lizards near our house?
On rocks, in parks. There's reptiles in Toronto. They're just, you know.
I like have not seen a reptile just like running around Toronto.
Yeah, obviously there's not a lot. I'm sure in Florida there's a lot more getting eaten, but this is not just Toronto. 47% birds, 22% reptiles, 21% mammals, 6% insects, 3% amphibians.
Okay.
And the worrying part is that 70% of all the species they ate were considered conservationally concerned or endangered.
What percentage? Sorry.
17%.
Oh, okay.
So
that's
it's like, yeah. So it's not like as high. Right. But it
like the
does,
majority of what they're doing is not impact, not like a worry to like the environment or the ecology.
Yeah, but they end the study by being like,
nearly one fifth of their things is
That by being like, this is why we need to have more awareness around keeping your cats inside as more and more species like decline. Mm. I don't really know why I chose that one, but I think it's because we just were looking
a lot of love cats and
at that outdoor cat the other day, and then it just did make me think that I was like. No, if I had a cat, I'd probably keep it inside, but then would I be
sad about that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Even with Ernie, I feel sad about that sometimes.
He's absolutely fine.
No, he's fine. I know. But he can go to the park and stuff and play. Like, cats don't have that. You know what I mean? Like, dogs are more social in that way, so you can go outside. You can go on
a
hike through the park with them. Whereas a cat, I mean, some cats go on leashes.
Yeah, you can put them in those little like cat bags with the like circle.
There's something sad
like,
to feel about an animal being trapped inside forever.
Yeah,
totally. Like that, that gets to me. Even with a dog, which I take outside every day, I sort of am like, are you trapped here? Yeah. I hope you like it.
No, he would be obliterated by a car in 10 minutes. He needs to be in.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get into gene editing. This is wild. I'm obsessed.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
If you take a look at search trends, interest in learning a new language is only increasing over time, and there tends to be a spike in the new year as it's a perfect time to pick up a new hobby like learning a new language. And with Babbel, you start speaking a new language in just 3 weeks. Babbel is designed by real people for real conversations. All of Babbel's tips and tools for learning a new language are approachable, accessible, rooted in real life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching. I freaking love Babbel. As you know, I'm obsessed with Bad Bunny, La Rosalia, Rao Alejandro. So I truly use it as a way for me to start to understand the music more, and I'm loving learning it. I'm thinking I'm getting better at Spanish, and the way that the conversation techniques work on the app, I honestly feel like I'm like talking to someone in Spanish, which is like a really important part of learning a language. Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better. For instance, one study found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college. Here's a special limited time deal for our listeners to get you started right now. Get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but again, only for our listeners, at babbel.com/sidenote. So get 55% off at babbel.com/sidenote, spelt babbel.com/sidenote. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Study time.
Study time.
Study time. Study time.
The future is here.
It truly is.
Okay, today we are talking about gene editing, which you've probably heard about. I feel like it's become popularized in the last decade or so. You've probably heard of CRISPR, which is a gene editing tool, which we'll talk a bit about. But we wanted to focus on like the advancements specifically in humans, because there's been gene editing, you know, tests on mice and other species.
Plants,
like tests in agriculture. But we've kind of moved
actually
to the
a
stage.
Lot of like probiotic yogurt and stuff is like gene edited.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's like how they're like the probiotics.
To like specify them to like do certain
yeah,
things.
And why like probiotics have become so much more advanced. Huh. Just one example of like you're not probably thinking about that.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that is not only genetically modified but like affected with CRISPR. It's a really fascinating technology that's like transforming our world bit by bit, but we're moving into the phases of human trials on diseases, like actually putting this into humans and potentially yeah. curing diseases. And then the big question is like, what is the consequence of being able to modify not just a living person's genome, but maybe like a fetus's genome? And what are the implications of that? So it's a big topic.
Yeah.
We'll only cover like parts of it, but it's definitely something that I feel like even in university, we were like kind of being told a little bit about this.
Well, 2012 was when it was quote unquote discovered, and the Nobel Prize was a given to Jennifer Doudna and Emmanuel Charpentier. We've met her.
Right? Yeah, I know. We interviewed her, right?
Yeah. I kind of like, she's sort of the most memorable person because in my head yeah. I was like, CRISPR.
Like you've changed the world.
Like you like are going to be in textbooks.
Yeah. For better or for worse. I mean, obviously her work is incredible, but it's one of those technologies kind of like AI where people are like, what is this going
to
do in the
people
long run?
Liken it to AI a lot in the studies I read.
I think it's just because it has like people see the potential for it and also at the same time are able to go like, I can also see the potential for bad, right?
Yes.
Like it's such a huge technology that can transform people's bodies. And like people get scared of like genetic modification of people and like discrimination around like genetic modification and things like that.
Yeah.
So I think that's why it feels like AI, where it's like it could get out of control.
So the best like analogy that you've probably maybe heard, if not, is that it's like scissors.
I think you're going to say SZA. It's like SZA.
It's very beautiful, poetic Joni Mitchell of our time. But yeah, so like it is really complicated to explain. It's why they say CRISPR-Cas9 gene editing, because that's the protein.
So that's the specific kind of CRISPR, which
yeah.
in part of my study, I'm going to talk about how there actually are different CRISPRs.
But it finds like a palindrome literally in gene sequences where
a palindrome.
It can, right?
Isn't a palindrome word? Like something that goes forward and backwards?
Yeah, it finds that
sequence. It finds
a sequence
of
but
DNA.
It is a palindrome.
Always?
That's when it knows where to cut in the DNA sequence.
Always?
Yeah, Cas9.
Okay.
Wait, why? Does yours not?
No, I don't know. I don't question me.
Oh, wait, but no, your new one is not palindrome.
I wasn't going to talk about that. I don't know. I don't know the specifics of that.
Oh, either way, it's a way that the protein is able to find. They first found it in E. coli. They were like, oh, wow, like it will cut the DNA in specific parts. So they literally figured out how to use this bacterial, essentially the way bacteria deals
like
with
defend
viruses.
Like defend viruses, yeah.
It uses that concept to then be able to cut DNA in different biological things. So you can cut out parts of DNA, you can maybe replace parts of DNA, etc. That's like...
Yeah, because viruses typically are like inserting bad DNA to replicate their bodies, whether in humans or in bacteria. And so this is a way for bacteria to like find that viral DNA or RNA and stop it from replicating and like save their own bodies. And the CRISPR, the technology, it kind of comes in two parts. Like one part of it recognizes and binds to the virus, and then the other part is what can cut it or mess up the genetic material so that the virus can't replicate. So those two parts together like are able to functionally find DNA. And so what humans have started using it for, whether it's in plants or mice or humans, is can we target specific DNA sequences with this, like tell it to go after that, cut it out or change it, and ultimately either get rid of traits or amplify traits or, you know, modify genes however we want. That's like a huge implication because we have, as you know, so much DNA in our bodies, but as we learn more and more and process through like the human genome, we're able to go like, okay, this is the part of the genes that actually impact this maybe disease or like the color of your eyes or other traits. So can we target those and change that DNA by putting CRISPR in there and like targeting it towards something we want?
It's truly so intense.
It is like the quote unquote playing God, you know?
Yeah, it could be. And in fact, we will get into the controversial man who did use it
on children. Yeah.
So mess. We'll do that. We'll save that for the end. We'll edge you to that because it is a crazy story. Every time I read about it, I'm like, I can't believe this happened and is real. It's true sci-fi vibes. Mm. And I don't know why Hollywood China's probably like, you can't make this movie. but it has absolute Hollywood energy. But before that, I was going to talk about sickle cell anemia, which is the most up-to-date use of it. But what's yours?
Yeah, well, mine was a new Nature study that came out this November 2023. Basically, they have created an algorithm that can analyze millions of genetic sequences. So they're looking at bacteria and their sequences to see if they can find similar CRISPR.
Using AI?
I don't know. Probably. I don't know how this stuff works, right? But they basically, by using this, they discovered new CRISPR enzymes. So as of now, before this study, there's six categories of CRISPRs. 1 to 6 is just like what they're called. Cas9 is the famous one. Like CRISPR-Cas9 is like, I think because it's been the most applicable and most useful in terms of what it actually
is. In my
does.
Head, it's called CRISPR-Cas9 gene editing. Anytime I've said CRISPR, I've always said CRISPR-Cas9 gene editing.
Yeah, I think that's the one that scientists are using, but that's considered a type 2 CRISPR.
Whoa.
And so there are other CRISPR types, and they have different properties.
Imagine you were like, ranch, barbecue, salt, and vinegar. I'm like, man.
I mean, they should name them fun like that. But basically, like, they can be useful for different applications. I think Cas9 has just ended up being the most useful. So this new algorithm looked at hundreds of thousands of genomes, and it found CRISPR genes by clumping, like, similar genes that looked like the other CRISPRs. What they found was 130,000 genes that were similar to CRISPR, but 188 that had never been seen before. So they basically now are starting to test these 188 to be like, what do they do? How do they work? Can they be applicable for how we can use these CRISPRs? So as you guys mentioned, like CRISPR can affect DNA in a different way. It can, like now they realize some of them unwind the DNA, some of them cut the DNA, some of them insert sequences. And now one of the new ones, it's like it targets RNA. And this new one's dubbed type 7. So they only had 6 types before and now they have 7.
Because it's an RNA one?
Yeah. They think that they probably won't find, it'll be really hard to find other CRISPRs because they've looked so much, and they think if they do find new ones, they'll be super rare, either because they're not that effective or only really niche organisms use them for like a very specific environment or something like that, you know, or very specific viruses.
Cool.
So now they're at the stage where they're like, we need to study these and find out what they do and figure out like, how can we use these other CRISPRs in gene editing?
It is like, okay, I just have to say like from my joke earlier, is CRISPRs the snack Canadian?
Oh.
The ranch.
I feel like all snacks are like localized.
Because I'm just like, now are people going to be like, why did he say ranch and barbecue? And I'm like, it's because there's a snack called Crisper, which are delicious.
Are you looking it up?
No, I'm saying, do you know that Crisper stands for clustered, regularly interspaced, short, palindromic repeats? So I'm saying when you're saying all these Crispers, it's like they're meaning palindromic repeats in DNA.
Okay.
Sorry, because I like earlier you were like always, and I was like, wait, now I'm like, it is because that's the
I
acronym.
Knew they were repeats and that's how it finds the segments. I just didn't really.
But like, if you think about you're talking about an algorithm that's obviously looking for palindromic repeats and that's what's calling it a CRISPR.
Got it. Okay.
So again, we should probably make that clear. CRISPR stands for clustered, regularly interspaced, short palindromic repeats in DNA. CRISPR with an E is a baked snack.
Canadian potentially snack.
Potentially Canadian snack. Please, one of your comments on this podcast could very much be, no, we're in America. We love Crispers. No, we're they actually invented in Britain. And I do remember loving them because they said baked. And in the 90s, baked meant healthy. And so my parents would buy me Crispers. And I would dummy a bag and be like, well, it's not a fried potato chip. So I just ate a salad. A ranch salad. Oh, and know how I would do it? I would place it on a tongue like a Listerine strip. And I would lick. I would flip
that's
it over.
That's the right way to
I
do it.
I would lick, and then I would eat a soggy cracker after.
I told you the other day, I saw Greg eating chips, and he was just like scarfing them
down. I scarf chips down.
In fact, he'll get like 10 in his hand and eat them all at once. Yeah. But you know when you get a good chip, I'm like, lick one side.
I hate watching you eat chips.
But also then you
get... We're on side note, y'all. I hate...
We're on CRISPR side note.
I hate watching...
But you just said that's what you do with a CRISPR.
Because it's a CRISPR, it's not a chip.
It's not that different.
No, even with Crispers, I'll put 20 in my mouth and crunch, crunch. Also with chips, when I get to like one quarter of the bag left, I beat it. Like a beat it. Beat
no,
it.
You crush it and you drink
it. Crush it and then I drink it. Yeah. I know.
So who's the sick one now?
No, well, it's just like frustrating because we're like in the basement. We're like, oh yeah, we're going to be bad. We're going to have bags of chips. And you reach in one little chip.
Because then it lasts so long.
I'm like, are you kidding? It's going to take you 4 hours to eat this bag.
Yeah. And I'm going to savor every little bite.
It's just the willpower is too strong. Okay. So the reason that CRISPR-Cas9, I'm going to say Cas9, not one of these other types, is in the news right now is because in the UK, they've approved the treatment for sickle cell anemia disease, which is a disease that I weirdly, like I worked at a camp with kids with sickle cell anemia and it's like I have thought about this disease a lot and learned a lot about it. And it's like, this is so exciting and promising. But essentially, so sickle cell anemia is a blood condition where your body produces hemoglobin shaped like a sickle, So, which once was described to me when I was at this camp by nurses as a banana shape. Other people
like instead of being round, it's like,
yeah, a sickle moon is like an example, which is really awful because then the blood clots or clogs, it gets sticky. And then essentially there's like blood clots that happen inside people with sickle cell anemia so that the oxygen can't get to your muscles or tissue. And they describe the pain like being stabbed or shot constantly.
Like when those happen.
Yeah. And they happen quite often. It's like so awful. And I think another aspect of this is, okay, so there is in when you have sickle cell anemia or it's a recessive trait or the recessive trait, you are unable to get malaria. So that's why this disease and disorder proliferates. And it's something like one out of 365. Sorry, I'm going to go back again. It proliferates a lot more in places where there are malaria. And then so in places like North America, it's like a predominantly people who are black have sickle cell anemia, which is another reason because science and medicine is racist. We all know that. You can go to many episodes on this podcast about how that works. It's like very underfunded. It's like not taken very seriously. There's so much pain involved that people like doctors will be like, oh, you're in pain. It's like, no, they're like dealing with like, I'm just like.
Like an actual condition that's a disease.
And like, if it was just like a bunch of white kids in pain, like,
right.
I don't know. We wouldn't be relying on CRISPR right now. It probably would have been like other types of medical forms that would have happened. That's my opinion. But it is odd and interesting that it has this like malarial resistance. And it was like one in 365 black kids are born with sickle cell anemia in America, whereas one in five will have the trait.
I see, like carry the recessive trait.
Yeah, so if you think of like Punnett squares, you need like a lot of parents won't have sickle cell anemia. They'll just have the trait. They'll get together. They'll have a kid, and then the kid
has a higher
has
chance
a one of, in four yeah. chance of having sickle cell. That's right. how it's like proliferates. Yeah. So there are a lot of people with sickle cell anemia across the world, but there's also not maybe enough. We'll get to it later for this to be cheaper. We're at the really interesting point of this. So how it works, which is like so interesting, is that they take the bone marrow of people with sickle cell anemia out. Then they use CRISPR-Cas9 gene editing to change the genes in the hemoglobin of those cells.
They're stem cells, right?
Yeah, like from their bone marrow. Cells. Yeah,
I see.
But what, okay, this is what...
Because then the idea is that those can proliferate, right?
Okay, so this is the part that's confusing, but also so clever and why like scientists are just so smart. There's this gene called BCL11A. And what it does is it turns off the production of this specific type of hemoglobin that only is produced in fetuses. Okay. So every person, including people with sickle cell anemia, will produce hemoglobin when they're in a fetus through a separate pathway. And then as they grow up and they become adults, whatever, this gene is like, no, no, stop with that fetus hemoglobin. Okay. And we're going to move into this
like adult next, or
yeah,
like
adult hemoglobin.
Living.
When you have sickle cell anemia, it's that adult hemoglobin that's sickle celled.
Okay.
So there, what they do is they take out the bone marrow and essentially they take out, just picture the stem cells of some sickle cell anemia. They take that gene that turns off the fetal hemoglobin, which is like properly shaped. They cut that gene out. So now when they put the stem cells back in and the gene edited genes get back into the person, they're no longer having that gene that turns off those fetal, and they have fetal hemoglobin that goes through them that's properly shaped.
Wait, how did taking out the fetal gene turn on the fetal gene?
No, not taking out the fetal gene. They're taking out the gene that turns off the fetal gene.
Oh, I see. Okay, so now it's like it's permanently turned on.
It's like, yeah.
And it's a stem cell, so as it like proliferates, it's making more of those in the body.
Essentially, the fetal...
Version of the hemoglobin
which is properly shaped now. Proliferates because they take out the gene that turns it off.
That's really cool.
Isn't that fucking
and so
cool?
They're doing this with CRISPR.
Sorry, they're like, doing that with CRISPR.
As it's in like a petri dish. Like this is taken out of the body
and then
using CRISPR to target that area and remove it.
But the
this still blows my mind.
That's so cool.
Like how did people like I know this is obvious, but this is all microscopic. How the hell did people figure out like we can literally take these blood cells and edit it as though it's like a piece of fabric. And like our needle is literally this other thing that we actually took from a bacteria and are using that as our scissors and then sewing it back together and putting that back in the human body. Like,
and also, at least, and also being like, oh,
we
yeah,
live in the future.
Remember the fetal hemoglobin we all have? Like someone, that's why I think it's so clever. It's
on like top of it all. Like
backwards thinking, turning off adult to get like it's just like well, thank God nature created that random fetal hemoglobin,
and that people were smart enough to also learn about the body and be like, there's actually two different levels of this, and if we focus on the fetal, because obviously an instinct would be like, how do you fix the adult hemoglobin? But somebody smart enough was like, if the fetal version is working,
take
how
out
do we
the gene that stops it on the adult? It's so smart.
And a lot of the body's interesting in that way, where sometimes what's actually happening is like the, how do I say this? Like even like, you know, like,
oh, like when turning it comes to erections, on and off.
Yeah. It's like, it's actually like you have to turn something off like nitric oxide or whatever for you to get a boner. There's like an active signal that's stopping you from being physically aroused.
Things that feel active are just turning
off something else. And then that allows it to happen.
Yeah.
So it's interesting how that's like, the body sometimes
negative
is,
feedback.
Yeah,
no.
I don't know.
Positive. No. Yeah. Oh my God. It's like
we've hit the limit of
not like we are a science podcast based on when we do research right before we talk about it. But yeah, no, I know what you mean. Like getting a boner.
I didn't mean to have to bring that up. And I'm saying it is in as like a scientific and a respectful way as possible. Like I'm not trying to link these
but,
two.
Okay. Also, I was looking at our, and if you listen to last week's episode, you'll know this. I was looking at like upcoming video ideas. I was like, hey, what should we do this week? And it, in capital letters, it says cock rings. So I was just like, I don't know how much research we're going to have on that one, but I'm like, we'll talk about nitrous oxide more in that episode. Okay. So the thing is that, then after they put the newly edited gene cells, like infuse them back into the body, they have to essentially be monitored for a month in the hospital.
To see that it's like working properly. That
The gene cells are taken up properly. And so in this study, this is the one in the UK of 54 people, okay, I'm trying to do the math. Of 54 people, only 29 were monitored for long enough to be included in this study.
Okay.
And then 28 of those people had no debilitating episodes of pain for a year after treatment.
Wow.
So in theory, it's like, obviously this is so new that they need to keep waiting.
It's like, it's worked for now.
It's working. And there's like, there's a world where it's a one-time, one-and-done.
Like, like their body now is producing hemoglobin.
Which is like, some might call a cure. Yeah. But then it's like, but
it's so early.
It's so early. Those things could change over time. But as of now, that's like super promising. But then leads to that issue of it's $2 million per person right now. Because if you think about
all like if there's not so many people who have, it's not like,
Well, I was thinking, okay, it was hard to get a clear answer. Like a lot of it was about demand. And as more and more companies get the technology, it will create a supply and demand situation where the price should go down. But also it's like, okay, if you're in the hospital for a month after, that's a lot of money.
There's like a huge
there's stem cell transfusions, there's all these things, but there's like a huge cost to it, which will go down obviously as the technology. That's just, you know, you can understand how that works, but it is a huge part of this new conversation right now. If you're listening to this, like you are on the cutting edge of this information, and it's so exciting in one breath, and then in another breath it's like $2 million per person.
Like even if and when it's like approved, how do people actually get access?
And
to
then
this?
That's in like, you know, the richest countries in the world. The sickle cell anemia affects a lot of extremely poor countries. Yeah. It's just like, it's just so sad when like you're just like, okay.
I mean, but obviously the intention from like a scientist perspective is to get this to the people who need it, and hopefully systems will be built around it to help amplify that. And there is a lot of hopefully work that goes around this that's philanthropic that can like help fund something like this.
And it's so new that it's like, okay,
bring it to places that actually need it.
Yeah. Like I can imagine like in our lifetime, it'll get cheaper. And like there was one doctor I listened to talk about how he like, he's in Toronto and works at SickKids with sickle cell anemia. And he's just like, you know, I'll be like so happy if I don't have to like, if my job goes away, like if we can get to the point, he's cautiously optimistic is like what he said, that there's a world where he might have like a completely different type of job. That's maybe just around this, not around treating people with sickle cell anemia.
Totally. Yeah. Obviously that's like probably like so sad to have to see that. And, and knowing that there's a cure on the horizon for your patients who have been like suffering their whole lives.
And it is like, I remember when I worked at that camp, it was very differing how severe it was for different people. And so there is a cost benefit analysis of how you suffer.
Yeah.
Like what, like there is a lot of people at that camp I know who would have really wanted this. Whereas there's others who might've been like, it's invasive.
Right. Is it worth it? I can push through the times that I have it. Cause it's not as bad.
Yeah.
As
but it does. It limits your life on average by 20 years. It is so like intense as a like disease.
I'm just noticing I didn't hit record on the camera.
So I know. I just noticed that this exact moment too.
That's okay. We'll just keep going.
Yeah. Sorry, YouTube. You're not getting this one. So anyways, as someone who's interacted with it, I think it's a intense enough disease that I hope this just becomes something that can proliferate and as many people who need it can get it. Okay, do we want to talk about that?
The only other thing I was going to bring up is one other version that they've done in humans.
Oh, okay.
And the CRISPR one's so interesting because they take it out and modify it. This was from a few years ago, but it's the first, I believe, medical example where they actually did it in a human. So this was...
Wait, as opposed to what?
As opposed to taking the cells out of a human and
impacting them. Oh, and doing that.
Sickle cell is related to your own cells, right? In a way, this... Okay, so... Like, that's been one of the biggest challenges with CRISPR. It's like, how do you get it? We know what it can do. How do you get it in the body to do what you want? Like, how can you, like, inject someone or put this in their body and then have it go affect their cells? And one of the hardest things, I think, with CRISPR in general is that there's, like, scientists are trying to figure out how can we get the specificity more and more? Because CRISPR still makes mistakes, right? And the stakes are high. If you're editing somebody's genes, especially not in their body, like outside of their body, you don't want to give someone like a medicine or a drug that's going to edit their genes and then like do it wrong. Like even though CRISPR-Cas9 targets a specific area, it can make a mistake is what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
So this was a like fatal disease that ends up affecting the nerves and it causes heart disease. It's basically like toxic proteins that get created from the liver. The disease is called, I'm going to say this wrong, transthyretin amyloidosis. Amyloidosis.
Oh, boy.
Okay. So, basically, CRISPR has to go into the body and impact the liver because you're not going to like take the liver out and stop the liver from producing these toxic proteins.
Yeah.
They did a trial and gave this to some people, and it actually deactivated a mutated gene, which causes those like folded proteins to mess up in the liver that end up being toxic. And so that was like a really cool other version of this because they were like giving it into the body as opposed to like taking out the cells and modifying them.
Okay, yeah. I didn't know that.
So it said that the
it's like, since we're not filming for YouTube, I'm picking my nose. Continue.
It's like the amount of toxic cells went down by like 90-something percent, or maybe it was like 89% or something like that. But at the time, and I couldn't find a follow-up on this, maybe they're still waiting. At the time, they were like, we still don't know what the long-term implication of this is. Still, like,
oh, that's the same kind of with the sickle cell disease. Yeah, when they like, have to,
they knew they had, on a numbers wise, they had impacted these people's lives. But is this actually going to impact their symptoms? Is this going to change the way they feel? Is this going to like, what does the long-term? Is it a one-time injection, or do we have to like do this on a regular basis? So, still a lot of questions. I was trying to find a follow-up from this 2-year-old study. I didn't. So there might still be one out there that I'm not aware of, but maybe there's an ongoing trial running to figure out like what was the long-term implication on these people.
Yes. Yeah. So this is like, this form of gene editing is called like somatic, and that it introduces like, it's limited to the individual patient, like getting this done. And then the scary thing is when you gene edit an embryo, which changes the DNA of the embryo's future eggs or sperm. It's germline. So like that is why you might be like, okay, human gene, there's gene editing humans. That sounds so scary.
Yeah.
And, but like both of those are examples of like, it's not going to affect your germline.
Yeah.
But it's not
like, yeah,
editing human embryos for reproduction is like considered taboo in the world of genetic engineering. And there's like a lot of bioethics around like why that can never happen. Mm-hmm. Even though our friend in China has already done that.
Our friend.
He, Jiang like, Hui. No, he was in jail for a bit.
Yeah.
That's the crazy, like, true crime ass story that I'm kind of like, there needs to be that podcast. The True Crime 8 series, yeah. NPR.
To like, I mean, sure, there's something out there, but you're right.
It needs to or be like at least, a like, full I haven't heard of it, but like, I feel like it could be, like, you know, a biggie.
Yeah.
But essentially, this guy, when CRISPR became popular in 2012, took it upon himself, sounds so like crazy, to try and delete the gene CCR5 because essentially if you delete that gene, in theory, you would not be able to get HIV. Mm. And HIV in China is extremely taboo. It's like very, like in order to get the people to be involved in this study, like they would never want anyone to know. Like it's just, it's a completely different culture there. And so he kind of like, it leaked to the press, like someone found out that he had actually genetically modified embryos. Mm-hmm. There are two people living currently in this world, like for their own privacy, and thank goodness people don't know who they are.
Right, but we know that there was.
Yes, yeah. Have a deleted gene in their germline that will continue. Like it's actually so intense now that mm-hmm. I think about it. I'm like, what is actually going to happen? So it was like leaked to the press right before he was about to go and talk about all the gene editing he'd done in like rice. Oh my God, rats and mice. But then he like went on stage. This is part I think is so dramatic. And because of that leaked thing, he wanted to talk about like the rats and mice. But then everyone was like, hey, is that true? That you like people were literally like harassing him, and he was really excited to tell the world that he'd done this. Like he, like people are like he's actually, like, obviously bioethicists are like, what was he thinking? And he was thinking he was doing a good thing for these kids,
right?
Like,
yeah, yeah.
Based on the way he's acted in public, people are like, it's not like he's like some.
He didn't think he did something wrong.
Exactly.
He was like, I might have gone did it secretly, but it was for the.
In fact, he's out of jail and like. Thinking he's gonna keep going, like it's like keep your eye on this. Whereas what we're talked about earlier are like, you know, Jennifer Duden is happy about that stuff. That's affecting your
non-ethically questionable parts. Yes. Where like I think, I mean, obviously there might be some people, but most everyone is like, yeah, let's tackle diseases that make people's
and
lives
and it's not
going
to affect when you reproduce your kid's life.
Right. So and it's not like the fear of like modifying a child before they're even born, like in the fetus stage.
Yes.
It's like, oh, these are people we know have diseases and the diseases make their lives hard. Let's actually help them. Not questionable. But when the bigger ethics questions comes to like, A, modifying children because they don't have consent. And implicating somebody's body for when they're going to create progeny.
Like they don't have, they have a missing gene.
Yeah. And like maybe that's a good thing if and it's also that, preventing a disease, but it's like still questionable.
The gene, it's like the CCR5 gene also like has other implications. Like it makes kids taller. Like it does all these other things.
Yeah.
Like
lots of things aren't in a silo.
Exactly. It's like not. Especially when you're not doing it somatically.
In a silo?
What?
Is that a phrase?
I don't know, but it made sense to me.
Okay. Because a silo is like contained.
Yeah,
right?
It sounds good. If not, like coin it, babes.
Because I'm like, at the same time, my silo has a lot of hay in it.
Yeah. Okay, essentially he was on stage and was like so excited that he'd done this. It was leaked and he kind of had like an eager like, yeah, that was me that did that. And then all the scientists were like, sorry. And apparently you can watch videos of like it turning and
really?
His face. He looks like so.
Because
he's
realizing.
And then even like the Chinese government was really excited by his research and thought like, okay, we're the ones. And then when he like got back to his lab was shuttered and the Chinese government was like, oh, you're actually going to jail. Like they completely changed their tune because like it kind of was like the
public
bio,
perception matters most.
Yes. The community of like science absolutely turned on him. And so it became this question of whether he felt what he did was wrong. And I think based on my research, he's out of jail, he's wants to keep going. And so there are those aspects of gene editing in humans we have to be aware of, which is that some people think maybe this is the right thing to do.
Well, I mean, this is like a way too big a question for our podcast, but like the ethics and morality of science has always been.
Yeah, it's why it's a new question.
Different times different opinions. And like even thinking of like the studying of psilocybin and magic mushrooms like became so taboo that it turned so much potential research, and now so many scientists are like, this is an amazing drug that we could use to help people in so many ways. So he may think on the inside like, this is an amazing thing and I'm being reprimanded because the world's not ready for it, but I wasn't doing something that was meant to be malicious. It was meant to literally save lives. Whereas other scientists, and I think rightly so, are like, these kind of things should go through like ethics communities.
Yes.
And you can't just like go rogue and do yourself.
He truly
but someone like him
rogue.
Might think it's the only way to push it forward.
That's what I mean. Sci-fi movie. Those are like stakes. Those are like moral, like it's
like somebody who believes
sci-fi.
They're doing the right thing, but others don't believe they're doing the right
like,
thing.
I want a Hollywood movie. Even if it's not about him directly, like
yeah.
a
I bet
CRISPR
there will be
movie.
One day. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it hasn't like fully panned out yet. Like,
no. And I kind of am just like, oh, the story's so fascinating. That I just, I want a podcast version because I want to hear that.
At the end of the day, are you like hopeful or scared about CRISPR? Like, what's your like takeaway?
Oh, I think I'm hopeful. Well, the sickle cell anemia thing makes me so hopeful.
Yeah.
I'm left with hope from that. Cautious,
yeah, me too.
Cautious optimism was used a lot in
I guess
the studies
like,
I read.
It's so early and obviously like all the things it's being used for right now are so, what's the word? Like good. Like it's for a good cause and the fear is lingering and I guess it's not worth stopping great things from happening for a lingering fear.
Yeah, totally.
But I think it's worth like AI being like, what are the potential dangers of this? Don't let it stop us literally curing diseases, but let us take a breath and stop before we step into like the morally ambiguous areas where we can actually create rules before we just like go ahead and
do it. It's so AI energy. And if you are reading Nature magazine or any public science publication right now, every article is about AI or CRISPR. Because they actually, now I'm like, because I'm kind of getting sick of it. Like reading about AI and science. And CRISPR I find more interesting, but I'm still kind of like, anything else going on? You know, like climate crisis? But obviously they're talking about the climate crisis, but it feels like these two things are those morally ambiguous things without...
Yeah.
The climate crisis has an answer. We know what's going
to
happen.
And there's like a side. It's like easy to at least be like, this is going to be bad for all of us.
Yes.
There's
and it's like
it's not
keep
good
fossil
for
fuels
anyone.
In the ground. Like there's very finite things that we know.
Yeah.
Whereas these two things are like, there's so much science coming out about them. And
there's
opinions.
Good that can come out of it.
But yeah. I think because there's like, there's like exponential good and exponential bad that could happen depending on decisions made now.
Yeah.
Whereas it feels like climate change, those decisions have already been
made.
Well,
there's
nothing
good coming out of it, you know?
Well, no, there's progress. What do you mean? There's progress.
I guess like because of climate change.
Oh, sorry. No, I mean
I see, I understand climate change is the result of like society. You know what I mean?
You're saying. Like when Exxon found out about the climate crisis, it wasn't like, oh, actually, it might be good.
And they're like,
actually, they lied. They were like, oh, that will maybe be good for some reason. Like they're actually just lied.
And I think it's not like people were going, well, climate change cures us some diseases, though. And so maybe we shouldn't get rid of it.
It's there's crazy probably moments where people were like, more CO2 means the sun's reflected more and that's good for skin cancer. Like I'm trying to think of like what could have been an argument in the 90s, but no, those are not real. And I can't believe that the COP28 was like,
oh my God, like hijacked by like
it just was
oil
like,
companies.
Yeah. I was also like, why?
To, like make deals.
What? Yeah. I don't know. These COP things are a little...
It's stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, this is so embarrassing that that happened. Like, if they ever thought they could have legitimacy and, like, now it's just like, yeah, you're a bunch of bougie rich people who like to, like, talk and speak up in the air about how you're changing the world, but...
It is that.
It is.
Right? Like, I'm like, we went to that one pre-COP thing and, like, met a billionaire, and it was just like, you're dumb.
Yeah.
Like, I remember talking to him and then, like, oh, everyone was like, you need to talk to this guy. It's going to really help if you let him know about your opinions on climate. I like met him. I was like, you're the worst. And he truly was like, I only did this because I started having dinner with my grandkids. And they were like, Dad.
Worried about the future.
Grandpa, we're worried about the future. I'm like, so your whole.
You only care about your grandkids.
And even then, it's like you wrote a book and you're here to sell a book.
Yeah.
And the book was like shit. It was like not even bound properly. It was like, you're just bored.
Yeah.
And you like invented mining. Like, oh my God. I don't know. That's just like, I was thinking about this week doing a COP28 recap, but I was like, I don't even know if I want to do that.
I think we can skip that because we only have really one episode left in this year, and it's got to be like Christmas and New Year vibe.
It's going to be about why the holidays actually suck.
Is it? Is that what we're doing? I feel like we've done that a bunch. Okay, well, we'll think about it. I feel like
Wait, what? That's so, I need to know that.
Don't we know that already?
Well, no, I need to remind myself of that.
Okay.
There might be new research for it.
We'll think about what it's
seasonal affective disorder, when I looked into it, they were like, this cannot be confused with, there was another name for something, and it was the stress of the holiday. It was saying seasonal affective disorder needs to be differentiated from the sadness you feel when you have to go see your family. I was like, whoa. Like, I don't think they meant having to see your family, but there's so much stress. Like, it is interesting when you talk to people, you're like, especially our friends with new kids, you're like, what are you doing? They're like, our next 2 weeks are just like booked with like shipping our
event,
kids around.
Event, and like having to spend money, buy gifts.
Do yeah. Think, like, get like, sick.
Travel around, go to all these places, coordinate. Yeah.
Maybe the next, you'll hear next week will be about sickness in this time of year because it's in the air, literally.
Sick. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for listening. This was a audio exclusive because I forgot to hit record on the video camera, even though it's staring right at us. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Peace on earth.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.